All right, turn your Bible to the book of Jonah this morning, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I was studying this week, and you know what I try to do is I study a little bit out of the Old Testament, a little bit out of the New Testament. And anyways, I went to the book of Jonah for the Old Testament, and I began studying it, and I thought, there's a message in Jonah's four chapters. It's a small book. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do a series of messages on the book of Jonah on Sunday morning. So for the next probably five Sundays, we're going to preach on Jonah because there's a lot there. Now, a lot of people say, well, Jonah's a book about that great big fish that swallowed a man whole. And you know that can't be true. That's impossible. Really? You don't think God's capable of creating a whale to swallow a man whole? You ever read Mariner history? There's been men that have been swallowed whole by whales. In fact, in the late 1800s, there was a guy on a whaling vessel that fell overboard and was swallowed by a whale. And a day and a half later, when they caught that whale and they began to disembowel it, they saw some movement. And it was that guy. Now, of course, he was bleached white. The acid took care of all of his hair. But they revived him and he lived to tell about being swallowed by a whole whale. So it's possible. And by the way, anything's possible with God. And a lot of people will say, well, it's just a book about, you know, Jonah not being obedient, doing what God says, and that's true, and we'll look at that. But do you know what the book of Jonah is about? Do you know why we have the book of Jonah? Let me tell you why. It's because God wants to teach us, His children, His word and lessons for life. And that whole book is about, one, the sovereignty of God, because God is in control of everything. And this is the greatest part. The book. You see, the next thing that he wants us to understand about God, yes, he's sovereign, he's in control, but God is a loving, merciful God that wants everyone to be saved. Now, not everybody's going to be saved. That's sad. I know it breaks the heart of God because God has done everything within his power so that everyone could be saved. Not everybody's going to be saved. But God is going to give everyone a chance to repent and be saved. So, the whole book is about His grace and His mercy, Brother Ciro. And I don't know about you, but just as we're about to learn about the Assyrians, and boy, they were some mean, wicked people. Even God loved them enough to want to see them repent and be saved. What about us? Where would we be if God held our sins against us? Uh-oh. Kind of getting close, huh? If God held our sins against us, where would we be if He said, forget you? I'm thankful He doesn't hold my sin against me. He loved me enough to send His Son to die in my place and pay for my sins. How about you this morning? So is everybody in the book of Jonah? Jonah was a prophet, and he was a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel. Jonah was raised just outside Nazareth. And Jonah, when he was a prophet, the king of the northern kingdom was Jeroboam the second. Jonah, well, let me put it this way. Jeroboam reigned from 793 to 784 as king. So the writing took place in between his reign. So is everybody, book of Jonah, let's read our text and we'll begin. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, and if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? He said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the man knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. I thank you for the privilege and honor of being able to come to your house to worship you. Thank you for my brothers and sisters that have gathered in the sanctuary to hear your word. Now I pray, Lord, you'll bless the breaking of the bread of life. You'll give me the words to say that I might present the gospel. And Lord, you might allow me to say those things you've laid upon my heart to say as I've studied and prepared this week. Lord, allow your spirit to move. Allow your word to have its place in this service, and may it reach those that you intend it to reach this morning. And Lord, if there's a decision to be made for you, we pray have liberty to do so, and you'd bless the invitation. Thank you again for everyone that's here. You've heard the prayer requests. We give them to you and just ask that thy will be done with them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian kingdom at that time. And you need to understand a little bit about the Assyrians. They were brutal. You see, it was their practice when they would attack an enemy to not only behead people and put their heads on a stake, kind of like we see ISIS do, but they would also make parents of little children watch them burn their children alive. And then they would kill the parents. But not only was that a custom of theirs, they would literally skin their enemies alive, and they would put them against the wall, all of their skin. They would make them stand there as the sun and the insects would come and eat them till they die. It's just miserable. They were brutal, cannibalistic, barbaric. I mean, literally, they were the worst of the worst, and they had vowed to attack Israel. Now, what we find here is the man of God, Jonah, notice the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah the prophet. Now, the God always has a word for his men. Now, not always do his men listen to him, but he always has a word. And he sent the word to go to that place. Now, Jonah, being human, had I been in his place, and I knew how they were, and they wanted to do the same thing to me and mine and my countrymen, I probably wouldn't have been too gung-ho to go either. Amen? But let me tell you something. It's never about conveniently serving God. We have an attitude that as long as it's convenient, as long as it doesn't cost me nothing, as long as things are going smooth, oh, you betcha, God, whatever you want me to do, as long as it's easy, I don't have to put any effort out, I'm okay. But listen to me, when it comes to serving God, sometimes there's going to be an inconvenience. Sometimes He's going to tell you to go somewhere you don't want to go. He's going to tell you to talk to somebody you don't want to talk to. He's going to tell you to do something you don't want to do. Anybody ever been there? Hey, I'll be the first to tell you. You want me to go to Las Vegas? Are you kidding me? I thought He was punishing me. I thought I had really sinned against God. Send me to the desert? That was my first. What did I do, Lord? Well, I'll tell you what I did. I bowed up. Don't want to go. But I'm here. And I'm going to say this. Sometimes us preachers kind of use it as a badge of honor to say, we rebelled and didn't do what God wanted us to do. I want you to understand, it ain't a badge of honor. It's disobedience. Any way you look at it. I stand before you. I was disobedient. God had to get my attention. You see, I was in a church that hurt me and my family. I was so angry. Oh, I was angry at the church. But I was more angry at God than I was the church because of what they did to me and my family. Because, sister, I just figured, because all I ever did was after I got saved and called into the ministry, all I ever did was serve. Every time the phone rang, I was gone. I was there. I was always doing what I was supposed to do. And I didn't know that sometimes people will hurt you. Notice people. I didn't say God, but at that time I was angry at Him because I went through that. And I tried to do the same thing Jonah was asked to do. Get on a boat and go the other way. I even told Him, I'm done. No more preaching. I'm going to go to church because that's my responsibility to worship You. I'll be more than happy to go to church. I'll read my Bible. I'll pray. But don't ask me to preach. Don't ask me to teach. I ain't doing it. And I thought if I went west, just like Jonah, you know, he went to Tarshish. Tarshish was in Spain. At that time, it was the farthest part of the world there was at that time. And I thought, well, I'll go west. Nobody knows me. I'm done. Isn't it amazing? My son's grandfather-in-law, Courtney's grandpa, was a Baptist preacher. Went to church, sat there. I was discontent. I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to teach. And the very next day, that man comes knocking on the door. Hey, preacher! And I looked at him. How did he find out I was a preacher? I never told him I was a preacher. He goes, stop running from God. I looked at him. And of course, you say, what did you do? Get right with the Lord? No, I bowed up even more. I got even more hard-headed. He goes, listen, it's a battle you ain't going to win. You can't outbox God, son. And that's what he said. You can't outbox God. His arms are a lot longer than yours. And I thought, well, he's got a point there. He goes, listen, all preachers are going to get hurt. He goes, I've been there. I've been where you've been. Thank God someone come to talk to me. God laid you on my heart. I'm to talk to you. And from that moment, God began to deal with me. But my point is this. You can't always serve God just when it's convenient. Because God has a plan and a purpose for all of us. And He will ask you to do things that aren't convenient. When He thinks you're ready, He's going to do something in your life. And you have a choice to either be obedient or bow up like Jonah did, decide, I'm going to go the opposite way. And let me go ahead and say this. You and I have been bought with a price. I don't belong to John Richardson. Believe it or not, I don't belong to Lori Richardson. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I fully belong to Him. You see, He purchased me and He purchased you with His blood. So He owns us. He doesn't want no lip from us. We might as well keep our mouth shut, be obedient, and do as Isaiah the prophet. When he asked, who shall I send? Here I am, Lord, send me. That's what we should be doing. Not bowing up. But you see, a lot of us have God in our mind like He's some genie in a lamp. You know, rub on Him. Ask Him, Lord, give me a nice truck. Poof, there's a truck. We have that kind of mindset. It don't work like that. Listen, God is sovereign. He is the creator of the universe. And if God tells you you need to do something, you might want to listen to Him. He's God. Amen? He's God. Now, He said, go to Nineveh, that great city. And it was. It was the capital of the Syrian kingdom, empire. And cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Again, let you understand. They were wicked. They were brutal. They were barbaric. And they were pagan. Amen? They were pagan. They worshipped false gods. They didn't know the true and the living God. They didn't know God of Israel. God specifically told His man, go to that great city and preach against it. You see, God is a loving, merciful, and gracious God. That's part of His attribute. Yes, He's holy, He's righteous, but He's loving. We love Him because He first loved us. Have you read our sign? You see, He loves us. And it doesn't matter how bad we are. He's willing, if we're willing, to repent, to forgive us. Amen? Now, notice what I'm fixing to say. When I say repent, I'm talking about genuine repentance. Not, I'm sorry I got caught. A lot of us have an attitude that, we're sorry, God, because we got caught. No. Genuine repentance is, Lord, I have sinned against Thee, and Thee only have I sinned. And I'm sorry. And I ask that You forgive me. You do it from the heart, and He'll forgive you. So He sends this man of God, this prophet of God, to go to a city of wickedness. And by the way, the population at that time was estimated between 600,000 and 1,000,000. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people that are dying and going to hell. I'm going to ask you something. The city in which we live, Las Vegas, Nevada. I wonder how many are dying and going to hell from here. You think God needs some Jonas, Las Vegas, to go and preach the message of repentance? Sure He does. Sure He does. Now, that's right, sister. But notice, here's Jonah. Here's Pastor John years ago. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Why would any man of God want to leave the presence of the Lord? I can't tell you. I know that I was angry at Him at one time. And I thought that's the only way I would be comforted is if I just got away from the Lord. Got away from His people. That would bring me comfort. No, it made me more miserable. Amen. And by the way, God ain't going to let you go anywhere that He doesn't want you to go. And you can't get away far enough because he's everywhere. Don't believe that? Read Psalm 139. Amen. 7, 8, and 9. That'll handle that. He's everywhere. You can't get away from him, Brother Dave. And he went down. Notice he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof. And by the way, isn't it amazing? You got to understand. That boat was there at Joppa. By the way, me and Lori went to Joppa. Beautiful. On the Mediterranean there. It's a beautiful city at night, wasn't it? And he goes to Joppa, and he just so happens to find a boat there, Brother Seaway. And those boats usually didn't come but maybe once or twice a year at the most. But at this time, there was a boat. You think that was by accident? No. God had a lesson to teach his prophet. And it says, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. And let me just say this. Anytime we are away from the will of God, anytime we're not doing what God wants us to, it is always a step down. Amen? Always a step down. And it says that, so he went down into it to go with them from unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Notice that word again. From the presence of the Lord. Why would any saved, born-again child of God want to be away from the Lord? You say, well, I wouldn't want to do that. But we know people that are away from Him. And if we'll be honest with God, and by the way, you are to always be honest with God because He already knows, there's been times in our lives we've been away from His presence. By what we do, what we say, where we go. Amen? Oh no, I come to church on Sunday. I'm glad you come because that's where you need to be. But it's not just about Sunday. It's about the rest of the week. You got to remember, we're always going to be in His presence. Whether we're here or not, we'll be in His presence. Now, notice what it says here. Think this was an accident. Verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And I want you to understand here, this ship that he boarded to go to Spain, Tarshish, these men were sailors. And believe me, they had been out in the Mediterranean before and they had been through lots of storms. Amen. They had been through storms before. So they knew how to handle themselves in a storm. But this storm was straight from our Heavenly Father. He sent a mighty wind and it became a tempest so bad that they believed we're fixing to lose the ship. Now, these men were salted sailors. And they were doing everything within their power to keep that boat afloat. But God sent this tempest. Why? To get His attention. Child of God, listen, because this is very serious and I want you to get this if you don't get nothing else. I said just moments ago, we belong to God. And God, when we flee from His presence and we disobey, He will do whatever it takes to get our attention. Amen? He will do whatever it takes. Trying to remember that brother's name. He gave his testimony. One of the ABA meetings. I cannot think of it. I know he's in Texas, but I can't think of his name. But God was dealing with him to preach. He did not want to preach. He said, I'm willing, God, to do anything else you want me to do. But I just don't want to be a preacher. I don't want to be a preacher. The man had a 16-year-old son. And some were saved, dedicated, committed to the Lord. And God kept dealing with him. He kept saying, nope, I'm not going to preach. Son was coming home. Son played football. Driving himself home after ball game on a Friday night, drunk, crossed the line, hit the car, killed him. I remember that brother in tears as he shared his testimony saying, I'd opened his eyes. God, I guess I'm going to do what you want me to do. My point is, God will do whatever is necessary to get us to where we are in his will, fulfilling the plan that he has laid out for you. So please be aware of that. He has a plan and a purpose for all of us. Don't put God in a position where he really has to get your attention. But he sent this storm to get Jonah's attention. Now, look at the next verse. And then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. See, they're pretty scared, weren't they? Crying to their false gods, not to the God that could truly help them. And they're throwing everything overboard to keep the boat afloat. And notice, where's Jonah? But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship. And he lay and was fast asleep. Hey, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to start a new life. I'm going to do it my way. And he goes to sleep. Anybody here ever been guilty of saying, Lord, I'm going to do something my way? All of us, at some point. Yes, sir. I've been guilty of that myself. You say, preacher, you know what? Most of the time, I'll go ahead and be honest. Most of the time, when God lays a message on my heart, it ain't for you, it's for John Richards. He's dealing with me. So he decides, ain't going to preach no more. Ain't going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to start life anew. Well, it don't work like that when you belong to God. Amen? Notice what else. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, wake up! What are you doing? Oh, sleeper, get up. I imagine he probably kicked him. Get up. We're fixing to die here. And notice what he says. Call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us and we perish not. You'll notice when it spoke of the gods that they cried out to, it was a little g. Now, he's telling Jonah, cry out to your God, big G, so that we perish not. You think that was by accident? No, hey you, cry out to God. What laid it on his heart? Spirit of God moved in that shipmaster. And then notice, and said they, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know whose cause this evil is upon us. Notice, pagans always want to cast lots. Amen? Let me tell you something. There is never a coincidence with God. There's never a gamble with God. God has our destination and our futures. If you've received Christ as your personal Savior and you're saved, you're going to heaven. If you've yet to receive Christ as your Savior and you die without Him, you're going to hell. But you won't blame God for that. It'll be because you sent yourself there. Why? Because you wouldn't believe on the only begotten Son of God's name. Now, they cast lots. Notice what happened. that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Huh. How about that? And then this is the real one. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause is this evil upon us? Now they've got him up. Now they're looking him in the eyes, Brother Shiro, and they're saying, huh, why is this happening? Here is the preacher running from God and the call God placed upon his life, and now he has to fess up. Amen. Notice what they ask him. What is thine occupation? Can you imagine? I'm a preacher. What? I'm a man of God. What? What's your occupation? I'm a man of God! I'm a prophet! That's your occupation? Where are you from? Notice what it says. Where are you from? Whence comest thou? I come from Israel. Where? Israel. Well, that God of Isaac and Abraham and Jacob people. Where'd you come from? Israel. And you're what? Prophet, preacher. And then look at the next question. What's your country? Oh, I'm an Israelite. What? I'm an Israelite. And then, and of what people art thou? I'm a Jew. I'm a Jew. You say, well, Pastor John, why did he have to answer those questions to them old pagans? What was God's purpose in making him answer those questions? This was his purpose. You see, God gave Israel the gospel. And Israel's responsibility was to tell of a Messiah that was to come and to take upon sins of the world. And Israel neglected that call. And before we point too many fingers at Israel, church, how often have we neglected sharing the Great Commission? How often have we neglected telling others about Jesus Christ? So, God is dealing with Jonah's heart. You see, he made the shipmaster ask those questions. So Jonah would have to answer. And it began to work on his heart. Because he had forgotten the call. Before we point fingers at old Jonah, how many of us have forgotten the call he's placed upon all of us? You say, well, he's never called me to preach. No, but he's called you to serve him. Well, he's never called me to teach a lesson? No, but he's called you to come and learn a lesson. You see, we've all neglected our call from time to time. Thinking, I'm going to have it my way. Not so with God. Not so with God. And then, notice, for he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. In other words, he's saying, I fear this is because God's trying to get my attention. And he says then in 10, and then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. You see, he finally fessed up. Why did you do this? Listen, these were pagan. These were lost men. And they're saying, why would you do such a thing? They're questioning the man of God. Why did you do what you did? You see, sometimes our actions affect others. Does everybody understand that? Our actions will affect people. That's why you and I better be careful when it comes to our testimony. Let me just say something. I promise I'm not going to keep you much longer, but let me say something. God loves you and I. And He loves the world. And He loves everyone in the world. No matter what color, how educated, how rich, how poor. It doesn't matter. They're created in the image of God, and God loves them. He loves their soul, and He wants that soul to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And there are times, as children of God, let's all be honest in the house of God this morning. There are times that we fail the Lord and we sin against God. Don't say, no, not me, you're lying. You just sin. We all sin. And sometimes those sins are pretty bad. When I say pretty bad, I mean there's been times that I'll use a preacher as an example. A preacher can sin in such a way that he can no longer hold a position that he held before in the Lord's church. And I'm not saying I know preachers that's done that, although I do, but I'm not naming them, so don't try to guilt me into telling you, oh, you know of a preacher? Gossipers, what's wrong with you? You should be praying for them. But my point is, sometimes we can sin so bad that it removes us from a position in the church. Sometimes we can sin so bad that literally it destroys our testimony before people, and it's hard for people to ever trust us and forgive us. It happens. There are times that we can sin that bad, but you listen and you listen good. You may not be able to hold another position in the church. You may not be able to really be a great witness and testimony to others because you lost it because of that sin. But listen to me, there will never be a time or a sin so great that you can't fall on your knees and ask Jesus in humble repentance to forgive you, that He will not forgive you. Amen? There's only one sin, according to Jesus, that will never be forgiven. Just one. I'm thankful that there's only one. What if there had been 613? One. You know what it is? Rejecting Jesus. Not receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. That's the one sin He won't forgive you. But all other sin, He'll forgive you. Maybe you're under the sound of my voice this morning, and God has placed a call on your life, and you just hadn't submitted and surrendered to Him. Aren't you tired of running? Better yet, what does God have to do to you? You see, He put Him on a boat, and we'll find out next week what happened to Him. They're going to throw Him overboard, and a whale swallowed. Did that to Jonah. What does He have to do to you and me to get us to submit to His will? See, God's going to ask us to serve Him. That's why He saved us. And when He asks us to serve, He expects us to serve Him. And you think you might be able to outrun Him and escape Him, but I'll just go ahead and save you the trouble. Don't try. Because you can't outrun God. You can't escape God. He's everywhere. He's in heaven. He's all around. In fact, David said, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. He's everywhere. It's futile. It's a futile effort to try to get away from God. Let me save you some time and effort. Just be obedient. Lord, whatever you'd have me to do. Because let me let you in on a little secret and close. If he ever calls you to do something, he will equip you and give you everything you need to accomplish his will. I'm here in Las Vegas. Been here. You know, April will be 16 years I've been your pastor. April. People can't believe that back home. You know why? Average pastor stint at a church, a Baptist church, is 3.5 years. Boy, God's been good to me. Thank you, church, for letting me be your shepherd. But my point is, I was angry with the Lord. God had to wake me up and put someone there to help minister to me. The person that ministered to me was dying. And on his deathbed, he wrote me a little note. Literally, he no sooner signed that note and they carried Brother Wilson back to his bedroom, God called him home. But I got that note in my drawer, my nightstand. Every now and then when I get discouraged, Brother Cyril, and by the way, preachers can get discouraged. We can get discouraged. We can get hurt because we're human. We're not superhuman Christians. But when I get discouraged sometimes, I'll go and I'll take that note out of the nightstand and I'll read it. Brother John, people are going to hurt us. But God loves us. Serve the Lord. That's what he wrote. You don't think that didn't begin to deal with a so hard heart? You know what I did? I walked outside and got on my knees and asked God to forgive me for being a Jonah. Forgive me for not being obedient. Forgive me for being rebellious. I said, Lord, just like Isaiah, send me. I'll go wherever you want. Here I am. So God is good. But listen, it's always going to be futile to try to run away from God when he has a purpose and a plan for you. Very first purpose and plan is that you know Jesus as your Savior. That you know his Son. Does everybody here know his Son? Not about him. Lots of people claim, oh, I know Jesus. They know about Jesus, but they don't know him personally. It's about a personal relationship. He wants you to be born again. That's the first thing. After that, he wants you to be scripturally baptized, to identify yourself as one of his. And then he wants you to be in a Bible-believing, Bible-practicing church where the Word of God is preached and taught. He wants you fully surrendered and submitted to him through daily Bible study, daily prayer, daily sharing your faith. What happens when you do that? You grow in the Lord. You mature. It all begins to be second nature. Are you there? What's he calling you to do? Do whatever it is he's telling you to do. Amen.